to the book of Psalms, Psalm 143 is our text this evening, Psalm 143. It is another Psalm of David, and please give careful attention as we hear the Word of God. A Psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness, enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. And therefore my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I pondered the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Selah. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies. And you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. Let's pray. Lord, we beg that you would come by your blessed spirit now, and you would take this portion of scripture, and that you would open our eyes to behold wondrous things of who you are, and you would revive our hearts to be trusting in you and following you, clinging to you, and standing for you, and hoping in you, and waiting upon you, and living for you. For Lord, you are worthy. You alone have the words of eternal life. There is no one else that we can look to save us. You alone are the creator and sustainer of the heavens and the earth, and you alone can redeem in your Son, the Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, revive our hearts this evening. In Jesus we pray, amen. This Psalm of David, unlike the Psalm that we looked at last Lord's Day evening, does not specify the setting. We can guess as to what time in David's life this was written. We see in verse 5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. Some have said that perhaps indicates that he wasn't a spring chicken when the Lord moved him to write this, but that not necessarily is the case. It could be he is a young man, has been remembering in all the succeeding generations what God had done. Whatever the case, this psalm is recorded for us so that we would learn what to do in the face of distress. God has recorded this, whatever the circumstances were, and there were many in David's life that would have called for him to cry out to God. And in this particular psalm, we see David's testimony at the beginning of what he did in the face of this distress. He prayed, and so ought we. It ought not be the only time we pray, but if we are in the habit of praying when trouble does come, we will be found in that habit automatically crying to our good God, who is full of mercy, for help. And so you can think about this. If you face sickness, if you face a hard assignment in school or a chore that your mama and daddy have given to you, or those who are older, you can think of all kinds of difficulties that we face at times in our homes, at work, at play, in our country. God calls upon us to cry to Him for help. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. Now, who has the right to pray? It is those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. We alone, by the grace of God, have the privilege of coming into the throne room of heaven. And that's how the psalmist ends this psalm. All of these things he is confident will be granted and given to him, not because he's earned it, but because he belongs to the Christ. And you see the very last phrase in verse 12 of this psalm. He's confident of God's mercy and help, for I am your servant. We see in the rest of verse 1 and verse 2 the basis of David's being the servant of the living God. Notice what he says. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. The God of the Bible is a God of mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. The God of the Bible is a faithful God. In your righteousness, the God of the Bible does what is right. Verse 2. Enter not into judgment with your servant. He does not want God to give him what he has earned, what he deserves. And he states why. For no one living is righteous before you. Now, you could stop and think of even this past week, the various things that you have wrestled with that are not right in the sight of God, whether it is an angry word to a brother or a sister, or disobeying your parents, or telling something that wasn't true, or ugly words in our home, or not being diligent in what God has given us to do. In our chores, on and on we could go. But particularly over in Isaiah, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 64. When David says, for no one living is righteous before you, not only is he thinking about sin, but notice what Isaiah 64, verse 6 tells us. And notice the prophet Isaiah included himself. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds. Now notice he doesn't say all of our sins are like a polluted garment, but he says all of our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. And I will never forget, years ago, I was on a hike up on the Appalachian Trail on the south rim of Burke's Garden, and we had run out of water in our canteens, and we were thirsty. And finally, we came to a spring at the top of the mountain, and I thought, oh, this is too good to be true. And I leaned down and was drinking this delicious spring water, and all of a sudden, one of the guys in our party said, Henry, stop. And I stopped, and I said, you're disturbing me. I'm enjoying this water, you know. And I went to drink some more. He said, no, you got to read this. And I walked around, and there was a sign, which I had not read, that said, danger, do not drink. Well, I thought, oh, it's too late. But the thing that was so striking, this spring that was polluted, and I never did get sick, at least that I know of, but the water tasted delicious. And yet, there was something about that water that was dangerous. And so to our eyes, we may appear in the eyes of the world good, but even the best that we can do to please and honor God is tainted with sin. It's not perfect. And so the psalmist now, over in Psalm 143, David says, enter not into judgment with your servant. Lord, I'm not coming asking you to give me what I've earned. I'm not asking you to give me what I deserve. I'm asking for your mercy. I'm asking because of your sweet offer of forgiveness in the Christ. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me in your righteousness. In your righteousness. Now, before we move on, I want you to turn with me to another passage over in Jeremiah chapter 23. And here is one of the thrilling promises of Messiah in the Old Testament. What did the people of God in the Old Testament time know about Messiah? Well, they knew a lot. In Genesis chapter 3, they knew that God had promised that in the fullness of time, a seed of the woman would come to crush the serpent's head. They knew that the God of the Bible demanded a substitute to die to pay for sin. And all of those sacrifices that were offered through the Old Testament were pictures that pointed to the Lamb of God who would come in the fullness of time. In Jeremiah chapter 23, we see that one of the promises God made was that this Savior would come from David's house. God had promised David that one of his descendants would be this glorious Savior. And in Jeremiah chapter 23, look at verse 5. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. In other words, there's going to be a descendant that will come from this part of the tree, the limb of David, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. And I want you to notice the name of the branch that would come from David. What's the name by which this glorious Savior will be called? The Lord is our righteousness. And so in Psalm 143, when we're in distress, if we are trusting in Jesus, we have the privilege of coming into the throne room of heaven through our Lord Jesus Christ and to be welcomed as God's own little children, as those who have the joy and privilege of serving the living God. But only those who are trusting in Jesus have that access. Jesus declared to us in John 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. And so in Psalm 143, David begins this prayer reminding us that we are all people who need mercy. And that mercy is found in the righteous one who comes to be our righteousness. And that culminated when the Lord Jesus died upon the cross and tendered his own life as our payment for sin. Well, David is asking not for God to give him what he deserves. Enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. Then we see in verses 3 down through verse 6, we see David's plight. He explains to the Lord, Lord, here's what I'm dealing with. Here's why I need mercy. Verse 3, for the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. And therefore my spirit faints within me and my heart within me is appalled. I am just under the weight of seeing that there is no hope apart from the Redeemer. His spirit is fainting. What does it look like when a person's spirit faints? Well, they lose hope. They're despairing. We see in David's life when King Saul was chasing him. Those were dark days for David. We see after he had sinned, committing adultery and murdering a man, the Lord said, trouble will never leave your home. And in that context, Absalom rises up, his own son, seeking to murder his dad so that he can take the throne from him. Whatever the circumstances were going on, perhaps it was when David hears that Abiathar and all of the priests there at Nob have been murdered by the command of King Saul. And Doeg the Edomite has stepped forward and slaughtered this whole village. Whatever the circumstances were going on, David is humbled in the dust. He says, the enemy has pursued my soul. He's crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. And therefore my spirit faints within me, my heart within me is appalled. But the Lord is reviving David even as he prays. You know, one of the reasons why Satan does not want us to pray is because prayer is such a powerful weapon in the hands of our God to push the realm of darkness back. And here we see, even though David says in verse 4, my spirit faints within me, my heart within me is destroyed. I'm just laid in the dust. But immediately, we see the Comforter at work. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. And what did that do? It revived David's heart to be praying even more fervently in his present situation. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Now, why does the Lord bring difficulties into the life of the child of God? Well, let's go over to the New Testament and we'll look at just a couple of passages. First of all, in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We read in verse 1 and following, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so here we see what is happening to David. As he is in this crucible of suffering, the Lord is coming now in the midst of this suffering, teaching him to look to God for his hope, for his life, for his blessing, for his deliverance. Another passage, James chapter 1, verse 2. God tells us, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. I confess to you, when I go through a trial, that's not the first thing that comes to my mind. Oh, I rejoice. It ought to be, but I'm a slow learner. And the Lord tells us that when we face trials, we ought to rejoice, not because we enjoy pain, not because we enjoy being in difficult places, but because even in that, our kind, good God is at work, taking us gently by the hand to revive our hearts, to learn, to love, and trust Jesus even more. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And so back to Psalm 143. David is in distress. He says, my heart is fainting within me. And in that context, the Lord graciously comes to revive his heart. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. Why has God recorded for us the mighty works of God's hand through the ages? It is to teach us to trust in him. It is to teach us that this God who has done these mighty deeds is the same God today who is at work in our day, and a call for us to trust and obey Jesus. And so in verse 6, as David is meditating on all that God has done, pondering the work of his hands, I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. And so David, he's beginning to be encouraged, but he's still in distress. And so I want you to look at verses 7 through 11 now. As David now, he feels this urgency, begging God for help. Look at verse 7. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. He says, Lord, the clock is ticking, and I'm going to perish, and I will end up be liking one who goes down to the pit, who dies, and they just throw me into the pit. Lord, hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. He says, Lord, come quickly. I'm not going to last. Lord, in the morning, come. You've probably heard people talk about that there's hope that comes in the morning. Where'd that come from? Well, this is one of the passages of Scripture that concept comes from. And if you've ever been through a long, long night, maybe you had a loved one that was sick, or maybe you were in the hospital, oh, it is a sweet thing when morning comes. If you've been in distress and been through a long, 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 hard night. And so David, he says, let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. He says, Lord, I just want to learn your ways. I want to follow you. Look at verse 9. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Here's the picture of a little child just running to his parent, throwing himself at his feet and climbing up in his lap and saying, I've fled to you for mercy. Help me. Deliver me. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. The psalmist David, he said, I need God's spirit. And so do we. And the chief tool that the Spirit of the living God uses is the Word of God. That's what David was meditating on. That's how he knew the great things that God had done in the past. And so when we are in distress, this is what God wants us to be doing. He wants us to pray, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, remembering who God says He is in Holy Scripture, and praying in light of who God says He is. And God comes by His Spirit to revive our hearts and to teach us how good the Lord is, that He is the living water. And we left to ourselves are what? Like parched, dry ground. In verse 11, for your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. Verse 11, it's a powerful truth that we need to remember. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. God has written His name on His children. He's written His name on me. He's written His name on you. And when we are in distress and our hearts begin to faint, we need to cry to God that He would come and rescue us and deliver us, because ultimately God's name is at stake. We care more about the honor of our God even than our own life. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And so the child of God, all of us, we have the joy of praying. And so if you are a little child, and when your mom or dad ask you to do a chore that just seems so hard, what do you need to do? You need to pray, Lord, help me. Help me. Deliver me. When we face heartaches and difficulties, when we face seemingly insurmountable situations in our own lives, our families, our nation, this is what God calls us to do, to pray to the God who hears and answers prayer because of who He is, because He has given His Son to be our Redeemer. And so David's final words now in verse 12, "And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant." This steadfast love, this mercy that we have been looking at, it's an amazing thing. It is a Hebrew word. It's one of my favorite Hebrew words, chesed. And when I was first learning Hebrew, I could just picture some old camel spitting. But oh, what a sweet word it means. Kind of sounds funny. But oh, it's a sweet truth. It is the mercy that God gives because of His Son, the Good Shepherd. And it's what we see at the end of Psalm 23. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Why? Because we have a Good Shepherd who laid down His life for us. And that's why we have confidence. That's why David had confidence. He knew that because of the steadfast love of God, because of that mercy he had experienced, that God was going to take care of him. Over in Romans chapter 8, we'll close with this reminder. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, we also have confidence because of who our God is. Verse 31, "What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who spared not His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us," what? "All things." Everything we need. And so here in Psalm 143, and this would be a wonderful psalm for us to pray over. And I encourage you, when you find yourself struggling to pray, just open a portion of Scripture and pray over that portion of Scripture. And so this Psalm of David is recorded for us to teach us to trust Jesus, to be men and women, little ones of prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who remember what God has revealed of Himself so that we will have hope and we will have confidence even before God comes and actually delivers us. David was confident. "God, I know You're going to take care of me." Praise God. That is our testimony by the grace of God. Let's pray. Father, we ask that You would write this psalm upon our hearts. Thank You that You have not dealt with us according to our deserving. Lord, if You were to give me what I deserve, I would be, even this moment, in the pits of hell. Oh, how we praise You for Your grace and Your mercy, giving Your Son, the Lord Jesus, to be our Redeemer. And Lord Jesus, You are our righteousness. And in your name, we thank you that we have the privilege of prayer. And when we face scary times, hard times, oh Lord, when things are going well and our hearts would grow cold, Lord, you come and many times you put us in difficult places to remind us, to teach us to remember you, to revive our hearts. How we thank you for your blessed Spirit who comes and takes the Word of God, the Bible, and speaks it to our hearts so that we might have renewed hope to believe in you and to trust in you and to learn of you and to follow you. And so, Lord, we thank you for this portion of Scripture. Oh, Lord, please give it to us to use in everyday life for your praise. Amen.